You know, we got a big faith shield on the top of this building, and people always, and we talk about faith, and it's important, vitally important. It, in fact, it says you can't please God without faith. But I want us to go to 2 Peter tonight, first chapter, 2 Peter. I want to just look at some stuff tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. Start with verse 3. See if everybody's there. All right. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His great and precious, very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Now, I'm reading, if you've got your device there, I'm reading the NIV version on this, okay? For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted, blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we recall, Jesus talked about building a house upon a rock. Well, that actually is a metaphor to talking about our life, you know, as a person. He went on to say, if a person hears these words and does them, then you're going to be successful. Now, Peter talks about some things here that you add to your faith so that we will never fall. That house will never fall. It's like the house built on a rock. We read that right there. Didn't you see that right there? In verse 10, last clause, are, if you do these things, you will never fall. You know, Jesus is called, and you know, we call Jesus, maybe a better way to say it, we call Him Lord. But is He really Lord? You know, it's one thing to say you know Jesus, but is it another thing that He is the Lord? The Lord is the one that's in control, not you. You know, Jesus went on to say, anyone who builds his house on the sand will fall, but if you build it on the rock, you're going to stay steady no matter what comes. It's not going to fall. So Peter said here that we need to add this to our faith so we don't fall. 1 Peter 5 through 7 in the New King James says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You know, the NIV said it like this, for this reason make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, godliness brother kindness, brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. That's a good statement. Ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten he's been cleansed of sin. Therefore, my brothers, do all the more eager to make, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Peter is saying that if you do these things, your house will stand because you're building on the rock. I want you to notice that there are seven things here that he says to add to your faith. Hello. Hey, y'all there? Okay. The New King James and the King James says virtue, which is goodness. And then knowledge, we all know that one. Temperance is self-control. Patience is perseverance. That's something we don't like. This world we live in today, we want everything now, immediately. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, or love. Now let's look at each one of these and see what they are. Now I may step on some toes and I may make some people uncomfortable, but I'm just reading what the Bible says. Virtue. That's the first one. That's behavior. Showing high moral standards. Righteousness. Morality. Integrity. Dignity. Honor. Decency. Respectability. Nobility. Worthiness. Purity. Wow. That's some words, isn't it? But he's saying, add these to your faith. As we look at this word, virtue, man, it covers a lot of stuff and may make us ask ourselves a question about ourselves as we look at these words. You know, we see people that have high moral standards. But as a child of God, we need to have a standard that lines up with the Bible. It may be okay for the world to do certain things, but not for us. Without integrity. What about honor? What about decency? What about respectability, worthiness, purity? Man, these are tough, tough words. But they're words that we need to think about. Because we're always believing God with our faith. But Peter says, add these to your faith. Am I right or wrong? You know, as we think about this, it really starts to make us question ourselves. Are we living up to these? This is what Peter is saying that we should do as children of God. That word knowledge. The state or fact of knowing. Now, I really like this. Familiarity, awareness, and understanding gained through experience and study. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about knowing God, but they don't have any knowledge of Him. Did you know you can know someone and don't have any knowledge of them at all? If I read this correctly, then our knowledge of God comes through being familiar with him. Being familiar with somebody is being around them, close to them. Am I right or wrong? Awareness, understanding, and that's all gained through experience, through doing it, and study. Study of the Word of God. Peter goes on to say that grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. We read that, right? They're in the first part of that. You know, the knowledge. Grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge. Understanding, knowing who he really is. You know, too many people got the idea that God's somebody sitting up there waiting, wanting to let the hammer down on somebody. No, God loves you. He wants to help you, but you have got to come in line. Just like children and grandchildren, you love them with all of your heart. But with your kids, and I'll go with my kids, you give them guidelines and parameters to stay within. Why? Because we know that if they will stay within those lines, they can make themselves successful. Am I right or wrong? That's all God has done here. He has given, we have to know him and know the knowledge of him. He's given us this. You know, many people don't want to learn anything if it takes more than 2 minutes. They don't want to spend the time in studying. That's why some people don't make good grades. They don't want to study. And then, you know, I'm going to go to the athletic field here. In fact, I'm going to talk about one of my own cousins. He never lost a baseball game that he started as the starting pitcher in 4 years of high school. His basketball coach said he was the best, and this is going back way many years, he was the best basketball kid that he had ever coached. But he was so good, he didn't apply himself in anything because there wasn't anybody that could even stay with him. But when he got to the next level, everybody was as good as he was. But he did not have a study ethic to work hard, to study what he needed to do to be better. He didn't make it. See, there are many people that are willing to listen for a little while, but they're not willing to get into the Word and study the Word of God out and read the Word of God and understand what it's telling them. Am I getting through to anybody? Some people, like I said a while ago, said Jesus is the Lord, but they hardly know anything about him. These are some interesting thoughts. And I must be provoking you pretty good because y'all are awful quiet. If I hadn't learned to preach with people just sitting there looking at me. Some people, they don't know how to preach if they don't get any feedback. I'm 28 years old. Maybe 27, maybe, I guess. 27. 28. I went to be associate pastor of my father-in-law, and he throwed me in that pulpit every Sunday night for 6 months. I had to do all of my other stuff as I was it. I did yard work. I worked on the church. I built Sunday school rooms. I swept. I made hospital calls. And then I had to study. And I was preaching to people that had the Holy Ghost longer than I was old. Those old saints, and they sat there. He told me, he said, just preach anyway. Don't pay any attention to them. So that's what I tell my students too. But some of them say, man, that's hard to do. I said, yeah, it is, but you'll be better when it's over. It's hard to sit down and take the time to read and study. I don't care what it is. Even in your natural life, for your job, it's hard to make yourself learn something new. You just want to make everything, you want everything to stay the same. Nothing stays the same. In your spiritual life, nothing stays the same. It either grows or it digresses. And then I've been in this all my life, like I said, and you see people that get upset because they're digressing and their friends are progressing, both naturally and spiritually. It all comes back to some of these things that we are talking about here tonight. Temperance, self-control, moderation, restraint in action. Moderation in the indulgence of a natural appetite or passion, especially in the use of alcoholic liquors. Total absence from alcoholic liquors. It's limiting, actually, what this is telling us, that we have to limit our earthly pleasures. Whoa. Denying ourselves. Not giving in to what makes the flesh feel good. I like to look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12. I'm going to read it both New King James and a Message. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The Message said, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. Whoa. That's pretty strong. We have to limit our appetites in the flesh that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, other people may be doing it, and they may talk about it being all right. They may talk about it being okay to live together out of wedlock and all kinds of stuff. In this world today, it's very easy. All you got to do is look around and listen to people talk. Even some Christians have come to the point, well, it's all right to drink a little alcohol. Well, it may be lawful, Paul said, but not all things are helpful. Come on now. Don't set a shutdown on me. You see, we want to believe God and have all of these things that God says we can have, but yet we don't want to add to that faith. This is good teaching, Pastor. Go ahead. I believe I will. Thank you. I'm like Brother Bill. I motivate myself. If you don't, I don't get no amens. I just keep on going. All right, we better go on. I could go on that, but I think you get the idea. I don't think I have to elaborate too much more. Now look at this next word, patience. Tolerant, even-tempered, perseverance. The capacity for calmly enduring trying situations. Whoa. Man, oh man. That sort of lays it out pretty good, doesn't it? We're to work on these things. See, none of us are perfect. The Bible tells us that none of us are perfect, but we're supposed to be working on these things. I'm not ever telling you I'm perfect either. You're looking at a guy that his patience can get thin pretty quick. And in younger years, I have responded in the wrong way. But as you study and learn and grow, you learn to be a little bit more in self-control. Hello. I got any friends? I just wanted to teach on this tonight. This is something I've taught on this before many, several times, but not here. Well, maybe I did, I don't know, 8 years ago, I think I taught this, but I'm teaching it different tonight than I've ever taught it. Actually, patience and endurance and perseverance, you might say, being able to sustain your Christianity and strength in the middle of your worst test or trial. Our flesh don't like it, but we stay in control because of God. You know, that's interesting. How many of you have ever said about somebody they're out of control? Anybody? Yeah. Why? Because they were not lining up with what we're talking about, right? Now look at this, godliness. That's from the King James. The dictionary's definition is godliness from God. It comes from the word godly. It means piety or belief in God, reverence for his character and laws. Pious, reverencing God and his character and his laws or his instructions or his, some people might say, rules. How many of you have had to learn to live with the rules in life? Oh, there's some of you hadn't learned yet then. Because some of you didn't lift your hand. If you stop and think as far back as you can remember, there were rules to live by. You get to school, first grade. Now, when I started school, they didn't have kindergarten. They had first grade, and that was it. I started the first grade in Van, Texas. Miss Fowler was my teacher. And man, she laid the law down the first day. 6 years old. And we found out real quick what happens when you don't obey the rules. Because Jack decided that he didn't want to do what he was told to do. And he told her that too. Now I know, and I look at these teachers nowadays and they look like, you know, they're all young and so forth. But all my teachers look like they come out of Noah's Ark. No. Actually, if all of you will stop and remember, when you went to school as a 5 and 6 year old, the teachers looked old. Now they don't at all. But you have gotten older. You see, what does all of this mean? It means living a life in careful observation of God's laws and performing them with love and reverence to His divine commands. Simply meaning Christian obedience. Period. How many of you found out in the natural, when you obey the rules, everything's good? But when you don't obey the rules, things don't go right. There's a law of electricity. And if you break that law, you're going to pay for it. Anybody ever done it? I have. I learned about it when I was 3 years old. I've told that story before, but we lived in that shotgun parsonage there right beside the church. It didn't have any fixtures or strings to pull. You had a socket on the wall, and it was just a ceramic deal with 4 screws in it and this brass deal, and you screwed the bulb in it. Turn it on, you screwed it in, you screwed it out. That's what we had in the house. Now, I know some of you probably had something like that in the barn, but. And so it was right behind the couch. Dad's sitting over here studying at a desk. And I'm standing up on this couch, and I'm going, mmm. He says, son, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. That'll hurt you. It'll bite you. And so I said, okay, Dad. Bang. My hand slipped off, and I slipped down in there, and I touched that in the middle, and I was touching the side over here, making a connection, and bam, knocked me off of that couch. What did I do? I broke the rule of dealing with electricity. And I've had people come to me over the years, oh, why did this happen to me? I wanted to tell them, because you broke the rule. God said, that's why it happened. You broke the rule. But you can't do it. That I did it, but I had to do it a little more diplomatically. How many of you have ever got yourself in trouble because you broke one of God's rules? We all have. But God didn't kick us out. Dad didn't. He didn't. I'm going to punish you for breaking it. He said, hey, you learned something, didn't you, son? I said, yes, sir. That's what God will say. He'll say, you learned something. And then like he told a lady that was taken in sin, go and do it no more. Come on now. Although we've heard that word godliness a lot of times, but to give it a real definition, sometimes we can't do it. You know what? There is no higher compliment that can be given to any of us than for somebody to say, man, they're a godly person. How do you get that way? By following these rules, what Peter just said here. The words godliness and godly only appear a few times in the New Testament, yet the entire book of the Bible is on godliness. And when those words do appear, they're filled with meaning and instruction. Godliness is true love for God and a great respect for His word. Now, brotherly kindness and charity or love, I think that speaks for themselves. We don't even have to talk about that. You know, self always wants to be number one and everybody to bow down. But we need to deny self and bless others. Because in this word of instruction that God been talking about, it says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Right? These things that I've talked about tonight are to be added to our faith, and if they are, we won't fall. Isn't that what Peter said? Isn't that what he said right there? And verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election for sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. If you recall, Jesus said, a man who hears his words and does them is like a house that's on a rock. The storms can't bring it down. I want to close by reading that passage over there in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built a house on a rock, and rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I want to read that out of the message. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, home over improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built a house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed on a rock. But if you just use my words in the Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You know, notice that it says, if you just go to the Bible study and hear the Bible study, but you don't work them into your life, here it says, like a stupid carpenter built his house on the beach. You know, notice all of these are to be added to our faith. But if you notice, the last one is love, because none of the others will work without this. Faith won't even work without love. I just wanted to stir up your pure minds tonight for a moment. I hope I got your attention. I hope I got some people thinking, because that was my intent, to get us to realize that there's a whole lot to this living the Christian life than just hooray and a jump and a shout. Thank God for the jump and the shout. I like to say the jump and the shout and all of that is like the dessert, like the sugar. But if you don't have the solid vegetables and protein and meat, you're not going to get very strong. If all you eat is the dessert, come on. And there's some people, all they want to do is shout and holler all the time. That's great, but I want to tell you what. If you don't get into the Word with some of the things I was talking about tonight, your house may fall. Heavenly Father, I tried to stir up your people's minds tonight on some things that I feel are very important if we're going to make our calling sure. Help each of us to make sure that all of these are working in our lives. And if they're not, Help us to be able to change. And may they begin to work in our lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.